Welcome, everyone, to the Jessica Jones Podcast by Fantastic Geek, your official, unofficial voice of the Marvel Cinematic Community. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Matt. Joining you here from the road, on the road, as we are heading back from the greatest city in the world, the setting of one Jessica Jones, having just been to the Paley Center to see the cast of Marvel Netflix Jessica Jones speak.
Wait, was that today or was that tomorrow?
I'm not completely sure. I know we podcast episode 201 at some point. It may have been this morning. It may have been another day. I'm not quite sure. It's all running together.
Well, Pete, today, still International Women's Day, Thursday, March 8th, 2018. About 19 hours ago, 18 hours ago, we recorded podcast episode 201 for Jessica Jones. Pete, the party continues. We spent this evening at the Paley Center for Media, an evening with Marvel's Jessica Jones. And we saw there assembled, and it was a room of about 200 people, Kristen Ritter, Rachel Taylor, Carrie Ann Moss, Janet McTeer, Ika Darvill, J.R. Ramirez, along with those all actors, of course, from the show, along with showrunner and executive producer Melissa Rosenberg, Vice President Original Series for Netflix, Ali Goss, and the man himself, Jeff Loeb, executive producer of and the head of Marvel Television, in a panel moderated by Cynthia Littleton of TV's Variety. Pete, where do you want to start?
Well, I mean, the setting, Matt, was beyond intimate, and it was portentous of things to come. When, as we're walking up, the Fiskian SUVs are pulling up to the Paley Center as we're walking across the street, and who pops out to an assembled throng but Kristen Ritter to sign a bunch of autographs. And then if you check our social media, if you check our Twitter, our Instagram, our Facebook, you will see a number of rapid, blurry shots of her at close range walking into the building. And that really set the tone for the evening we would have. If we were 20 feet from them, that was a lot. We were definitely in the fourth row.
A really, really wonderful theater, certainly on the smaller end. I know Paley in Los Angeles has at least one theater, which is much bigger. So a real treat to see this. And Pete, we were treated by a screening of the episode, which, of course, we had seen some hours previous. I must confess, we were beat out by the gal a couple rows behind us, who I got the impression had watched the entire series before this evening. She was up at 3 a.m. to start to watch things, and I think watched them through. But certainly a wonderful assemblage there. Of course, have to shout out our pal Jamie, who's at NJ. A-Y-M-E on Twitter, who, though fates did not let us sit together just because of different arrival times, it was great to see a pal there who we've had fun with in person at New York Comic Con, fun on social media, and it was a great setting to talk some Jessica Jones.
Absolutely, and we won't belabor the point on the first episode of the second season. You can, of course, go and listen to our podcast on that. But great after that screening and getting everybody caught up. I'm sure there were people there. There were reactions throughout the episode as if they had not seen it. You know, once we got the cast and the introduction by the curator of the Paley Center for Television, just great to have them in such a intimate, close, fun setting.
I'll say, too, there ain't nothing like a Jeff Loeb run panel at a big convention. And though I was not a huge fan of the stylings of the moderator from Variety for this, she was a little low energy. I'll say that it was interesting to not have Jeff Loeb as kind of the circus master. And he has a very extremely effective style where it'll start with lowest on the totem pole, clear question, next. This was a little bit more Well, I mean, honestly, the fact that the woman is a writer, she's a TV critic, I think it brought a little bit more smaller, intimate setting, kind of braininess. Not to say that Jeff is not brainy, but he's playing to the back row and playing for big effect when he's in a room that seats 5,000, 8,000, whatever it might be. All in all, just a really, really wonderful evening. Where do you want to start in its recap?
Well, I think just bouncing off what you had to say in terms of Jeff Lowe wisely deferring here on this International Women's Day, this power cast of women, Matt, and I think in particular of the quartet of Kristen Ritter, of Rachel Taylor, Carrie Ann Moss, and then you've got your showrunner in Melissa Rosenberg, to have this moderated by a woman, to have this discussion about the agency of women. You know, this is so different than anything offered currently in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The only thing that comes remotely close is Agent Carter, and even then, that show technically is frozen in time, and that's all she wrote there. But this means so much in that this is a character with superpowers who, I love what McAteer said, you know, super problems as well. That's the takeaway that I had. And there you're talking about a British actress who talked about the difference in terms of production across the pond. And here, you know, they want to know the entire arc. She wanted to know everything there was to do in terms of her character, whereas the other actors, they wanted to know dribs and drabs, drafts, obviously what's coming. They want to feel the surprise. That was, for me, the most interesting part of the panel.
Sticking with Janet McTeer for a moment, it was well appreciated by those of us in the hashtag spoiler-free army perhaps all three of us indeed, but that Janet McTeer's character was simply labeled here as Mystery Woman. She has yet to show up as of the end of the first episode, and though I was surprised more people in the audience had not seen the episode, some gasps of, oh, that's silly, the Whizzer, and then, he's died. Nonetheless, I think it's a bit much to expect that people had seen well past the first episode or two. So whenever Mystery Woman appears, the secret is safe. But we got surprisingly amount from an actress, considering that she couldn't talk about her on-screen interaction. She did talk about appreciating working with this cast, appreciating being a fan of the show, appreciating what all the show had to say, and from there, we were off to the races.
And the physical nature of her role, which I think works very well with our main character, with our star in Kristen Ritter. And the moderator pointed out how much of the show Kristen Ritter is in and how often she is on screen and how physically demanding this role is. And I know a lot was made, and we talked a little bit in our season 2 preview about, okay, it had been November 2015 when these first 13 season 1 episodes appeared on our Netflix, and we've not had a Jessica Jones season since, so 2.5 years. But Loeb was quick to point out, okay, well, we made Defenders in between, and yes, it's 8 episodes, but we got this character again, so it's not as if we haven't seen her. And she was working for 15 months with this particular character.
It is an interesting notion to think how long we've been away from Jessica Jones as a show. I don't know about everyone assembled in the room. I mean, my feeling is it was nice what we got in Defenders, but it's nice to have Jessica Jones back here. I guess just moving around the panel at this point, it was very interesting to hear Carrie Ann Moss talk a bit about her closeness with her co-stars, with Kristen Ritter in particular, and both stressing that they're different from their characters. And it occurred to me, is anyone going to say that's acting? And no one did. But you know, the notion that they are close friends on set, but then not just kind of I mean, not quite enemies, but certainly at a distance on screen. Carrie Ann Moss revealing in what I thought was still acceptable in a spoiler-free scenario, the notion that she eventually in this season makes her way to Jessica's apartment. She, the actress, had never been to that set before.
Yeah, and the other takeaway in hearing them interact, and listen, all of the women and McAteer coming again from that British theater background, immensely talented, but when you consider what Carrie Ann Moss held down in terms of a trilogy of a big, huge science fiction film franchise, and now you've got a Kristen Ritter who is a megastar, the name actress of this TV show, who wrote a novel, Matt, between seasons, okay, really hammered home for me the multi-dimensional talent. And I think the one conversation that happened during the panel that was so interesting was how she carries herself, the building she talked about that goes into the role of Jessica, that, you know, how she walks. And, you know, here you've got all these actresses resplendently dressed at this panel. Even Ika Darville with the you know, coat on the shoulders and the V-neck, and he's got the necklace and everything like that.
And rings.
And oh, it's just, I mean, just tremendous.
We should all hope.
I wish I could clean up like that, okay? But, you know, the coat game on this panel, and to hear about the prep, the building that goes into the character, how she carries herself, the way that she talks, and, you know, she joked about how she's adorable, and Carrie Ann Moss affirmed she is adorable, and I'm here to tell you, and Matt will confirm, she is adorable, Kristen Ritter. Having seen her get out of an SUV and at a distance of 5 feet, and then, you know, seeing her from 20 feet away, much closer than we've been at New York Comic Con, to write this novel, to be able, she talked about, you know, taking the voice from her core as opposed to her voice being so high up and nasally, which I always find such a treat when, you know, I think back to the first season episode where she calls up she's laying the trap for the one guy she and Luke are trying to find, you know, you're a winner, that kind of thing. And then we're so used to the Jessica, I drink whiskey, and, you know, I'm going to jump and fall and things like this. I thought that was really interesting in terms of the craft.
Yeah, and it's funny, the couple of times that we've seen her at conventions or whatever, I mean, obviously I know the difference between Kristen Ritter and Jessica Jones, and there's a whole thing, but it's kind of been like, and there's been a little bit of a disconnect. And I mean, look, even she's taller than I expected. I mean, granted, she was wearing heels, but quite tall. However, kind of just smaller features than might appear on screen when you see her, you know, walk 3 feet past you and smile, as was the case as she was entering Paley today, or this evening, I should say. But there's kind of been also okay, she looks a little bit different, and the camera makes you look a bit different. Okay, fine, the lighting and all these things. But then it's like she just kind of somehow acts different. And having her explain that she speaks up here, and then Jessica Jones, it's a physical process of, because she has so much emotional weight on her, that is, the actress is translating that physically to push the voice down into the bottom of her stomach. And all of a sudden, you hear her entering those Jessica Jones tones for a moment, and it's like, wow, that to have her talk about that for 90 seconds gave me a whole brand new appreciation for the craft of acting. She said she, you know, she'll spend all this time alone and things like that to really just get into that headspace. And it was interesting to have the curtain pulled back just for that briefest of moments.
And, you know, it's funny, too, because she's such a star. She's the name character of the show. But in Rachel Taylor, in this Australian actress who we were first really exposed to in a Transformers movie 11 years ago, Matt, if that seems believable, you have a really capable, you know, 1A of this show. And, you know, the question was asked during the very, very brief Q&A that we had, you know, about her becoming Hellcat. And Jeff Loeb had to, well, you know, you need to watch this season. And, you know, we'll do a third season if you watch this one. Even though Iker Darvill seemed to maybe hint at something else.
We'll get to Iker Darvill in a minute. But please, what were you saying there about Rachel Taylor?
I think just what she's able to bring to play off of Ritter and, you know, between their different physicality and then in terms of the performance, where her character comes from and the tortured showbiz past, whereas Jess comes from losing this entire piece of her family and her upbringing. They really strike a nice counterbalance. And, you know, I know the show has taken to calling them sisters, though they are not sisters, but I can't help but fall back on that term, that this is the two of them are a sisterhood. And then you throw in the way that Moss interacts with them in a public setting like this, and it really does feel like Melissa Rosenberg has assembled this like-minded group of women. You know, Jeff Loeb was diplomatic in what he was saying, that, you know, okay, we're going to have this TV show and they're not going to talk about other men or things they're going to buy and be the anti-Sex in the City. And I think that's the politically correct answer. But this is an embarrassment of riches, what they have in female talent on this show. I mean, you have a top box office draw of the last decade in an action sci-fi franchise. Then you have a coveted TV actress, and then you have an international actress to really bridge that gap in Rachel Taylor.
Also diplomatic was Jeff Loeb talking about how certainly season one, maybe even depending on when you want to note the uptick in the Me Too movement, the rise of the women's marches, etc., how this show was not made in response to the current day, but kind of reflecting things that were out there and kind of being discussed and whatnot, and how it has hit at a time where this focus is all the greater. And I couldn't help but note, I mean, on that entire panel, you have four female actresses, you have two behind-the-camera women, there were two non-white male actors. Jeff Loeb was the only white guy up there.
Yep.
And, you know, I certainly don't think anyone would take that away from him. I mean, he's the head of Marvel TV, and he's the guy who's been doing this the longest. But next to him is his equal, if you will. I mean, he's in charge of Marvel Television, but then the executive from Netflix is in charge of Netflix buying original shows.
Right.
So in that sense, an equal. She's a generation younger than him. You know, fast forward X number of years, 20 years from now, when Jeff Loeb decides to retire, and hopefully it's not a day before that, but when he decides to retire, you know, this panel could be run again in X number of years, and there's not a white guy up there. And you know what, Pete? That's okay.
That's fine. And as Loeb noted, look out into the audience. You know, the question was asked by the woman from Variety, you know, about demographics, and all the other people who didn't directly work for Netflix immediately came back to, well, we can't talk about that. And the Netflix lady was like, yeah, we're in this many countries and we have this many viewers, and that's the only public information I can give you, because they are the pace setter as far as demographics are concerned. And I know much has been made lately. You know, they have laid an egg with several film projects. You know, the Jared Leto movie is either out or ready to come out, and I know that's kind of been savaged in the press and everything else. But in Jessica Jones, and it struck you as you were listening to the TV curator introduce them, there's not a mean word said about this show, and I think that's super rare. And beyond important in the time that we're in, again, on International Women's Day, in the height of the Me Too Time's Up movement, when this is so important. But this show is not an outgrowth, a product of it. It was a forerunner of it.
And as I have mentioned before, and I'll mention again, all the way back when, 2011, Pete, in that smaller room at New York Comic Con? 2011, when Jeff Loeb shared a vision of Marvel Television live action, number one being The Big Green Guy, obviously has not come to pass. Number two on the list was this show.
Right.
So, you know, for as much as I think it would be easy and probably without evidence to say, oh, Jeff Loeb, Hollywood insider, yes, he's written comic books, but he's been a TV writer for 20 years. So Hollywood insider, sweet executive gig. All right, Hollywood elite, white man in his 60s. What's he really going to have to contribute to it? I mean, there were moments where I think he was letting his guard down when he was referring to Melissa Rosenberg as, you know, he said, Mel and I have been at this for a long time. He didn't mean Jessica Jones, just in the business.
Right.
And this notion that, you know, he can either be helping usher in this new future or he can be fighting against it. And he seems ready to tell, you know, to tell fantastic stories. And there's a reason why there's 240 hours completed at this point of Marvel TV. It's because we're not telling the same story over and over. And hopefully that's particularly the case for Inhumans.
Wow. You threw that at me like a rock. We were doing the mental math over a burger before the ride home here. And yeah, that they're 240 plus hours into this. 5 years, Matt. I mean, what's the number per year now when you think that first year it was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that's it. And we're going to podcast the same way we always do right after the episode airs tomorrow night, the 100th episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., something that Loeb and we still refer to as the mothership. But in the advent of, hey, we need you to write a possible series finale for that this year, you look at the state of the Marvel Cinematic Universe TV end, and it's thriving with the number and the array of TV shows. And I think Jessica Jones is, if not at the very forefront of that, it's at the top two or three.
Well, I certainly would agree, and to answer your question, they're in the neighborhood now, at least for 2017 and on pace for 2018, they're in the neighborhood of like 55 episodes a year, so that's an episode a week that something is coming out. Obviously not one every week, but, you know, three Netflix shows, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and something else.
Right. Whether it's Hulu, whether it's Freeform now with Cloak and Dagger, you know. I'll do the numbers as Matt's daughter has pointed out. Pete keeps the schedule, but, you know, at the end of every year, I start looking at our dance card for the next year. And, all right, you know, 2018 is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is Jessica Jones, is Cloak and Dagger, is now Luke Cage, is likely Daredevil. We don't know. There's this long gestating, because Marvel can do this, project at ABC that might be Ms. Marvel. We don't know. It's just an embarrassment of riches. But I think different from all of them is Jessica Jones, in that, you know, this is a female ensemble. This is such an important show for women. And it's so different from the other shows. It's a detective show. It's got a little bit of a procedural vibe to it. I pointed out in our, you know, preview for season two, there are times she goes episodes without using her powers. I liked what Rosenberg said tonight, that, you know, she's resentful of her powers. And, you know, that's going to be something that sticks with me as I finish season two.
On the topic of female directors, much has been said, and appropriately so, of every single episode being directed by a woman. It was interesting to have Melissa Rosenberg give credit to the idea to Ali Gloss, the Netflix executive, that they already had booked a certain number of women, and it was like, hey, can we fill in the rest with women? So credit there to Ali Gloss. Then Rosenberg saying, you know, many people have said, oh, so you found new talent. She said, no, it's been no problem finding 13 women who have tons and tons and tons of directorial experience to direct these episodes. So I think Rosenberg, A, giving credit to the PR aspect of it to Netflix, but then circling back and saying, yeah, this helped us kind of shine a light on the notion of female directors, but we didn't give a hand up to anybody to direct these episodes. These were all people who had tons of credit and were ready to go in what is a challenging show to make. A separate question being asked, you know, is it a 7-day shoot or an 8-day shoot? And there was kind of silence for a moment, and they were told, nope, each episode is a 9-day shoot, which is, that's incredibly long. That's a huge amount of time.
And I think it's a numbers game. And, you know, that Loeb brought up, the number was 400. He was talking about hour-long dramas, and then you throw in the half hours. There's 500 scripted TV shows in active production right now, okay? And then the number was thrown around at the Academy Awards last week. 11% of feature directors are women. In 2018, Matt, that's shockingly low. And this was not a stunt to take the directorial slate of season 2 and give it to all women. This is something that has been earned. This is a show about a woman. You know, you think of idiotic comments like those of ex Star Wars almost director Colin Trevorrow, he of Jurassic World, currently looking for his next project, likely blackballed because he put his foot in his mouth and said, well, women don't want to direct big budget movies. Tell that to an Ava DuVernay. Tell that to a Patty Jenkins. Tell that to the 13 women who directed this second season of TV. I'm in episode 9 right now, and it's been an absolute joy, one after the other.
The panel itself was certainly an absolute joy. I mean, the vibe in the room was wonderful. The setting's cozy. The questions, certainly thoughtful ones, whether it was from the moderator or from people in the audience. Jeff Loeb, in response to a question, how do I get into the business, told essentially the same story, but it's a good one and worth repeating, worth hearing.
In fairness, the guy didn't know. He knew he didn't want to act, but, like, can you narrow it down a little bit more? Do you want to write? Do you want to direct? Do you want to produce? Do you want to get the coffee or whatever? And, yeah, so he was repetitive in the story. Biggest reason I was interested is because, yeah, you know, I got a script out there that's getting some attention, and I'm looking to make that jump myself. But, you know, he's always the master of ceremonies. When we go to these things, it was so interesting to see him in a different, more reserved light.
Nice hearing the story, though, which essentially in two sentences is, when people tell you, no, you can't do that, you should remove that part of the conversation. He wasn't saying to leave those family members behind or whatever, but just say, this is something we don't talk about because I believe I can do it, to surround yourself with people who believe you can do it too. So certainly some affirmation there. Pete, I'll just share anecdotally, after we left and had a quick hey, how you doing with our pal Jamie. We're standing on the sidewalk waiting to cross. We decided not to watch the stars get back in their SUVs. Plus, we had some hungry bellies. And right as we're standing there, J.R. Ramirez, he of playing Oscar, the super in the building, he walks right past us.
Yeah, and you had to point him out. I didn't notice this gentleman in his overcoat here. He had an attractive lady with him as well that he was escorting to the SUV, and he was You know, once he got over there, as we crossed the streets, I saw some people had run to him and signed a couple autographs. But, you know, we talk about the women, you know, here you had these two, you know, men at the end of the panel, you know, supporting players, one a returner, one new, and from ethnic backgrounds as well. And again, adding that spice to the stew.
Pete, any other thoughts from this wonderful evening at the Paley Center for Media? Our first time going to Paley, undoubtedly not our last time. So any final thoughts about good old Paley and the evening with Jessica Jones?
Well, listening to Ika Darville, and I can't, was it a question or was he just talking? They talked about the physical condition he had to get into. And Rosenberg mentioned how in the first season, you know, he was rail thin, and then he added 25 pounds of muscle for this second season, and you can definitely see it in the way that, you know, he's been doing the nail gun and, you know, helping out and everything like there, and, you know, that character's demons in terms of needing to stay busy, otherwise idle hands and turning back to bad habits. But he talked about, you know, needing to stay in that form because, oh, how soon are we doing the next one? And you're watching him say that, and I'm watching Jeff Loeb's expression like, oh, Ika, I'm at the other end of the panel, and I really don't want you to say this.
It was also floated, too, rather anecdotally, how the story started. First, Kristen Ritter was so happy that they moved from the over winter slot, like November to April or whatever it was, to April to November, so kind of through the warmer months, and how that was so happy. And then I think she told her portion, oh, I love the heat and humidity, I don't mind, put me in the leather jacket, put me in the gloves, etc. And then Jeff Loeb said something like, so she has asked me if we're going to do that every year now. And I feel like he kind of paused and then didn't want to say too much, but two different points that kind of suggest to maybe they'll get into the habit of doing a Jessica Jones a year at this point, particularly, and, you know, big question in the air remains, or does it? I don't know, but, you know, does Disney take its ball and go home when it creates its own streamer? Statements have been made, no, anything that's currently on other places can stay there for as long as it runs. And if you're Netflix and you have a big hit, you're not going to cancel these shows anytime soon. So that's what we're going with. I think that's added reason for Netflix to say, yeah, we're going to keep these shows going even if there's a slight tick down. We're going to double down because we got our slice of Marvel and slices aren't getting handed out anymore.
I have to wonder how many seasons are in these shows because of the sheer amount of Marvel TV that exists and really how far you're going to take these characters. I think you'd be very hard-pressed to get more than three seasons and the Defenders, which counts as another season for each of these characters, give them four. So I think you'll see, you know, the second season of each. Iron Fist coming, you know, early 2019. They'll do another Defenders. They'll get another one each in there. And I think that might be it. Timing it around when Disney, if they initiate their streaming service as they're talking, or they just, you know, take over Netflix friendly or hostily.
Well, Pete, this trip certainly made possible by our friendly friends at patreon.com/fantasticgeek. This is a day where we both got up, recorded the first episode of Jessica Jones, went to work, left work, went to New York City, saw this, et cetera, et cetera. And certainly those Patreon people, and indeed all our listeners, were a wind beneath our wings and a wind in our sails, and wherever else you could stick wind, they had us going to make this possible on what has been a wonderful day to celebrate Jessica Jones, a wonderful day to celebrate International Women's Day.
Literally, Patreon paying our way here today. So cannot say enough about the people that go to Patreon, patreon.com/fantasticgeek. Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content, and then there are all sorts of levels to contribute at. Everybody is appreciated. Thank you again.
P- Pete, the greatest gift is, of course, being able to interact with you on Twitter. How can people do so?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, KetelaaR, 9,832 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast as we cover this season of Jessica Jones and we talk some other Marvel goodness as well. Visit FantasticGeek.com, email FantasticGeek@gmail.com. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram. We are Fantastic Geek as well. Going to be putting up plenty of pictures from this Paley event on our Instagram as well. But wait, Pete, is there more?
There is. The adventure continues on Facebook.com/Fantastic Geek with a PH, all one word. Closing in on yet another milestone. You know you want to be the person that helps us achieve that.
Pete, as mentioned before, let's see. We're recording this today, March 8th. It's going to get up online on March 9th. So by the time the earliest y'all are listening to this, later today, this evening, because it'll be overnight when it posts, this evening we will record the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 100th episode. Probably in the interim, maybe get another Jessica Jones in there too, because we can't get enough of that wonderful show.
Can't help ourselves.
Indeed. So more Jessica Jones, more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know which we are recording next. I don't know when you're going to listen to them next, dear listener, but certainly more great stuff ahead. With that, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you, Pete, the final Paley word.
I'm going to keep my hands on the wheel over here.